I'm speaking today to Dr. Teresa Hyland, former director of writing at Huron University College and one of the editors of our book, Writing Assignments Across University Disciplines, which was published January 2018. She's here to talk about the book and why it is significant. Welcome, Teresa.
Thank you very much, Roger. One of the reasons that we're doing the podcast almost a year after the book has been published is because I've just presented it to Huron in a very public way. I wanted to do that because I was worried that the book would be presented to the Huron Library and would molder there with nobody looking at it. And I think that the book has a lot to say to the faculty and to writing instructors at Huron.
What kind of public event was that?
Well, it was actually an awards ceremony, but traditionally at the awards ceremony, which is held in October, any member of faculty who has published a book in that year presents that book publicly to the university at that awards ceremony.
Interesting. How many people were there?
Oh, it was packed because there were lots of students receiving awards, and of course their families were there. Lots of members of faculty. I think there were representatives from every discipline at Huron, and more than one, at least two or three, because each of them, they were presenting prizes within their discipline to outstanding students.
So you had a nice captive audience.
We did. Now, I didn't get a chance to say anything, of course, when you have nine faculty members who are presenting books. We presented them, got our pictures taken, and left again. So I really feel that we need another forum to be able to say why the book is important to the university.
Well, that's really great. So let's talk about that then. What do you think is the most important aspects of the book?
Well, I think the book says several things to the faculty. One thing that is important is that writing instructors have the facility to do research in areas that are different from most other disciplines. In fact, we are doing research on how disciplines interact with each other and how they are different in terms of how they construct writing assignments and how they think about writing assignments. And I think that because we're not a traditional discipline like history or psychology or English, those faculties feel that they know everything that there is to know about how to write in English, and therefore we have nothing that we can help them with in that discipline. I think the book very clearly demonstrates that writing instructors can really help each discipline in its own way to create assignments that speak to the students and that help the students learn how to write within that discipline.
Now, you had a couple of interesting chapters in the book. I wonder if you could speak a little bit more about them, where you talked to faculty at some length.
Yes, we did. We had one chapter where we created focus groups within each discipline. We had four disciplines. We had English, history, political science, and psychology. We had professors from those disciplines sit down and talk about how they construct writing and how they think about writing and how they tell the students to prepare themselves for writing in those disciplines. And by looking at those conversations and looking at the metaphors that they used, we were able to find real differences in the way knowledge is constructed within those disciplines that they were aware of, but they couldn't necessarily articulate to the students. So that if you've got a first-year student going into a political science class, an English class, and a philosophy class, there are very different ways of constructing knowledge in all three of those, and of writing about that knowledge. The students get all confused because they really think that there's only one way of writing. The professors can't help them because they think it's obvious that when you're writing a philosophy paper, it's philosophy paper. And if you read enough philosophy, you'll know how to write a philosophy paper. I think that's where we come in and help those two areas come together and understand what it is that they need to do.
Give us an example of something that you were able to help those instructors with.
Well, I can tell you about a student who came into the Writing Center, for example, and he was in a double major. It was he was in history and political science. And when I was reading his paper, I really didn't know whether it was a history paper or a political science paper. And when I questioned him about it, it turned out to be a political science paper, but he was surprised that there would be a difference in the way that you wrote a political science paper or wrote a history paper. And so we spent a lot of time talking about what those differences were. It was a revelation to him, and I think the political science professor would have been able to tell him what the political science essay should look like, but he couldn't tell him the difference between that essay and a history essay.
Right.
I think it's really important for faculty to acknowledge the research that we do, but also for deans and administration to do that. And certainly there are large chunks of the book that would never have been written without the cooperation of two deans in our faculty. The first one actually allowed us to look at all of the course outlines and to analyze those course outlines, and gave us the time, gave us the copying facilities to copy all of those course outlines, and gave us a forum where we could present our findings to faculty. The second dean was the one who allowed us to talk to the faculty in focus groups and then to publish those findings that we had. And I think that was a great leap of faith by those two deans, because they understood that research could be valuable to the faculty, and it was also valuable to us as writing instructors.
Yeah, it's not every day we turn around and say, you know, hats off to the dean. It's usually when faculty think about the dean, they're thinking other kinds of thoughts. So
exactly.
So it's I think it's really important here to acknowledge really good educational leadership.
I think particularly today, Roger, because the tendency today is to put writing centers under the auspices of the library and as part of a learning commons. And while this acknowledges that writing is really in the forefront in any kind of learning that students have to do, and that they have to learn to write in a different way in university than they did in high school, I think that's all very good. But the danger there is that writing itself is going to be reduced to the lowest common denominator, which is grammar and sentence structure. And of course, the real writing process that we can help students with is the critical thinking, is the awareness of how to communicate complex ideas to the reader.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of this movement. At the same time, here's the argument that's been presented to us, is that if you move Writing Center into, say, a learning commons, this is a better way in which to make these kinds of help available to students in one place. They go to one place and they get used to going there, and it's where they're going for other kinds of things, and so they're more likely to see it, more likely to use it. That's the kind of argument that I think has been advanced in favor of that move, but you're feeling that there's shortcomings to that.
Yeah, I believe the major shortcoming is that the administration in the library is not going to realize that we have a long history of research in writing, rhetoric, and composition, and that we have a lot to offer in that area, both to faculty and administration, and of course to the student. And that is going to be lost, I think, in these learning commons.
Ultimately, that's why I totally agree with you on this. And yeah, when I think about the kinds of things that our library, for example, the University of Alberta, has put together for students, and it's on the library website, they're fine. They're not misplaced or anything, but at the same time, they're pretty elemental, and they're not tied into how the disciplines themselves actually work and think. And so they are reduced to a very introductory kind of thing, and they don't acknowledge that, hey, that an essay in English is not an essay in history, is not an essay over in kinesiology.
I think you're right, and I think those kinds of worksheets, while they're good, they're only good in a very generic sense. The real nitty-gritty of how to write an essay is to sit there and work out the ideas that you have so that they communicate what you're actually thinking to the reader. And that's what we do, of course, in the writing centers, but that's what we do our research on. What is it exactly that we want those students to know about writing an essay in English? And how can we help English professors also show that to the students?
Yeah, I think this is really important. You talked earlier about knowledge and about ideas. That's the level that we're talking about here. Writing as part of forming knowledge and about communicating ideas, and not just, you know, where to put the citations in parenthesis or whatever.
Exactly. And part of that knowledge, the other trend that I worry about at the moment is the trend towards interdisciplinarity, where students are encouraged to write interdisciplinary projects. We even had a course at Huron, I don't know whether they still do, which was called an interdisciplinary course, and it was a first-year course. And I've really worried about that course because it doesn't actually make the students aware that there's a difference in disciplines, that you really have to know what an English essay looks like before you can write an interdisciplinary essay that takes into account not only English, but history as well.
So, Teresa, one of the things that's really interesting about our study is we focus a lot about talking with faculty members, and we look a lot about what faculty members give to students. It's really an interesting question is, what do students think of all of this?
Yes, that's true. And one of the studies in the book actually talks about student responses and compares them to the responses of faculty. In the one study, the McEwen study, she found that faculty felt that verbal explanations of what should be in writing were more important than the written explanations. And when she went to the students and asked them about this, she found that 80% of the students found the verbal explanations more important than the written ones. Only 76% of the students found that written explanation was satisfactory and helpful. And then she found that 84% of the students found that the one-on-one discussions of the assignment were the most valuable things. So intuitively, we as writing instructors know this, but it was interesting to see that this was confirmed by her study. And I'm not sure whether all faculty would see that as valuable. They certainly find that it takes a lot of time to do these one-on-one instruction times. I don't know whether they see that as valuable as the students do.
Well, I was going to point out, you know, at my institution, I taught a class with 200 students in it. There's no way that I was going to do 200 one-on-one sessions. So we're looking here at about a 10% increase from just a written explanation to a one-on-one, with the midpoint being a verbal as well. So I think most instructors could say in a class could do more explanation and following up to the written, but to get an extra 5%, is that worth it?
Yeah, well, that's interesting because I have had that discussion with the focus groups in my own university with the faculty. And what they found was if they opened it up that people could come and have a one-on-one discussion with them at a particular time, that only the students who were genuinely interested in their writing came. So they weren't overwhelmed with all 200 students. They would get maybe 30 of the students who were really focused and really wanted to do better. So I don't think, you know, I think that's a kind of a red herring if you've got 200 in your class. Unless you made an appointment for every one of those 200, they're not going to come. Only those 30 or 40 who really want an explanation will come. If you say, well, I've got office hours, nobody's going to come. But if you say, okay, this day from this hour to this hour, I'm going to be just talking about this assignment for anybody who wants to come, then I think you would find you'd get more students coming.
It's really interesting because we used to do something here we called group writing tutorials. They were associated with a specific class about a particular assignment. So only students in that class could show up, and we'd only talk about that assignment. We ended up getting on average between 20 and 25% of the class, whether it was 300 people in the class or 20, we would get about 20 to 25% of the students. And within that 20 to 25%, there's a wide range of students who really needed help and people who are already getting A's showing up. So it was really an interesting cross-section.
Actually, that's a very interesting study. We've never actually done those kinds of group assignment discussions, but I think that they would be useful.
Well, the problem with them is, I mean, they help people who show up, but 75% of the class doesn't show up. So
Right. The
question there is, we didn't help most students, so is that isn't really an effective interaction. It's a partial one, like many of the things that we do.
Writing is such a personal thing anyway. I think that's all you can do, is you can offer those systems. You can offer a variety of ways of interacting with the students, and you have to let those students decide for themselves what they want to do.
Well, you can, but I will say this in response to that. We've heard from instructors at the University of Alberta that they want more online resources. they don't have time to show up for workshops and that kind of thing at the Center for Teaching and Learning. One of the reasons I started this podcast was to try to make available in a different format information and knowledge that they could have on their terms when they wanted to find out. And so I wonder, maybe one thing faculty could do would be to talk about the writing assignment in a kind of a podcast format and then post that audio to their e-class site or their whatever technology they're using to interact with students online.
I think that would be a good idea if they don't have time to be on campus. We used to hold talks given by the faculty in the Writing Center for students on a particular essay, and those were generally well attended because the professor himself or herself would advertise it among the students, come to the Writing Center, we're going to talk about it, and invariably they said that the discussion in the Writing Center did focus on writing in a way that was different than it would do one-on-one in their offices, and they were very happy to do that. So I suppose in a way that's a kind of a group discussion about an essay too.
And I wonder if maybe podcasting is a way that writing centers might facilitate that in this day and age and capture a broader audience.
I think you're right. I think that's a good idea.
Well, I guess on that, we'll end on that note with some ideas for other people to follow up. Thanks very much for talking, Teresa. It was great to chat.
Thank you.
The book is Writing Assignments Across University Disciplines. It's available through Amazon.ca or Trafford Publishing directly. If you have questions or comments about the book or its findings, I'd love to hear them. I'm at roger.graves@ualberta.ca. Thanks for listening to the podcast, and I hope you follow it if you found it interesting.